just outweigh the cost. A depressed or anxious brain may prevent you from breaking free. As a side note, we'll get into this more in chapter 15, you may find that your depression and or anxiety disappear with Brightline eating. That's not a promise, it's just a prediction based on my own experience and that of many others. Automaticity. Brightline eating is structured on the prevailing science about what is automatizable. Some things are readily automatizable and others are not. Learning to eat three meals a day is an easily automatizable behavior. Learning to eat six is much, much harder. Yes, when I was pregnant with twins, I ate six meals a day, but it was hard. I'd had many years of Brightline eating under my belt at that point, and I returned to three meals a day as quickly as I could because I wanted that automaticity back. Six meals felt like a juggling act. When we deviate from our food plan and the actions and strategies I'm going to share with you in part three, we leave ourselves vulnerable to the willpower gap and our saboteur. It's that simple. I'm going to teach you in part four how and when it's okay to deviate with things like moving our fruit from lunch to dinner because we're going to a wedding and we want to choose fruit instead of cake. That's a sensible strategic plan. But there's a huge difference between altering your food plan once or even permanently in a structured way during a pregnancy, say, and just casually swapping foods and categories daily based on the prevailing winds of your whims. That is a setup for failure. For many people, eyeballing portions works the same way. It invites the saboteur to try to convince them they haven't had enough. Believe me, I know. Sometimes I travel without my food scale, and at those meals, you'd better believe my saboteur will ask me if maybe I need just a little more food. Weighing imprecisely is another area for caution. You simply don't want the assessing, deciding part of your brain to have to get involved at all. An invitation. Over the coming months, you'll have tons of automatic behaviors to break and tons of other automatic behaviors to develop. It's going to sap nearly all your available willpower to do this and to do it well. So what this means is that you're going to have to carve out space. Slow down. Be gentle with yourself. Recognize that this period of weight loss is going to be a unique, intense, and in many ways truly precious time. You're giving yourself an incredibly valuable gift. If you set up Brightline eating right, you will end up with automaticity, and that will pay dividends for the rest of your life. It will result in nearly every dream you've ever had for yourself coming true. But if you don't carve out the time to do it right, if you insist on exercising too much, working too hard, or otherwise set yourself up to cut corners, the system won't get implemented properly, you'll hardwire in exceptions here and there, and this will go down in your weight loss history as one more attempt that didn't stick. I invite you to decide right now to commit to the program as it's laid out. No wiggle room, no exceptions. You have to trust. It's time to be unstoppable. It's time to give yourself this gift. Part 3, The Roadmap, Getting Started.
Case study, Jan Deutsch. Highest weight, 333 pounds. Current weight, 141 pounds. Height, 5 feet, 6.5 inches. I had a body that was fully mature by age 14, which made me feel very self-conscious about myself. I weighed 135 pounds and was almost 5 feet 7 inches, by no means overweight, but to my mind, I was fat. So I started Weight Watchers. By the time I was 17 years old, I was in great shape. But then off I went to college and gained about 20 pounds during freshman year. After that, I spent years on a roller coaster of losing 20 pounds, gaining 20 pounds. Then came my three pregnancies, which initiated an even steeper roller coaster of repeated gaining and losing 40 pounds. At one point, I did successfully lose 80 pounds on a supplement diet, but the very day I achieved my goal, I began eating junk food again. I think that was my lowest, saddest point. I felt like the ultimate failure. I just gave up and wouldn't even think of dieting for the next 8 years. During that time, I gained back all the weight I'd lost and more, for a total weight gain of 153 pounds. I ate whenever I possibly could. Whether I was happy or sad, it didn't matter. I ate for comfort. By no small miracle, I met my bariatric physician when I was at my highest weight, 333 pounds, and that's when I accepted that I'm not a weak-willed, lazy person. I was addicted to sugar and flour. What a relief! I initially lost a large amount of weight by following a reduced-calorie diet. No sugar, no high-fructose corn syrup, and no white flour. But one day, I was looking for something sweet to eat and opened a container of raisins. Over the weekend, I ate the whole container and started to experience that out-of-control feeling again. Luckily, a few days later, I heard Susan Pierce Thompson being interviewed by Katie May. Her words resonated so deeply that I immediately abandoned all flour, reduced my artificial sweetener intake, only ate 3 meals a day, and started weighing and measuring my food. I think the two aspects of Bright Line eating that had the biggest impact on my success were eating only 3 meals each day and committing to my food the night before. I had always been a grazer, eating almost every hour, on the hour. I never ate until I was full at meals because I wanted to save room for at least one or two snacks in the evening. The hardest part of the plan for me was eliminating snacking, as that meant my nighttime routine of several mini-meals would no longer be an option. It took about 3 or 4 weeks to get used to that. I drank lots of tea, kept my hands busy, and stayed out of the kitchen. I should mention that I was eating the whole food plant-based way, where the philosophy is as long as you eat WFPB foods, there's no need to restrict quantities. But not for me. My compulsive overeater brain would tempt me to eat more and more. This is why the susceptibility scale made so much sense to me. I'm a 10 on the scale. I don't know when to stop. Even after reaching goal weight, I continue to weigh and measure my food because it gives me freedom. I know that what I have on my plate is exactly what I need. No second guessing. Today, I wear a size 6 or 8 in anything from jeans to dresses, and I actually weigh 10 pounds less than when I got married. My life has changed dramatically over the past 6 years. At my worst, my triglycerides were through the roof. My HbA1c rose to 6.9 in the diabetic range, and my knees, hips, and back ached from the extra stress and strain I was putting on them by carrying 193 extra pounds. Today my blood work is exceptional, and my body doesn't ache. In the past, I was either shut out of or shut myself out of so many activities that required physical effort. Now I have participated in several 5K runs and a 10-mile walk. I kayak and canoe, and I can ride a bike, too. One of the most memorable moments for me in the last year was fulfilling a wish I first made about 20 years ago in Vermont. I was out on a golf course and saw glider planes swooping overhead. I thought, oh, I'd love to do that someday. But then I looked down at my 300-pound body and said to myself, no way. There was a weight limit for glider passengers. Well, in August 2015, I fulfilled that dream. It was so exhilarating to soar over the mountains. Dreams really do come true.
Part 3. The Roadmap. Getting Started. Chapter 8. The Weight Loss Food Plan. I imagine you're eager to read up on what you're going to eat. Don't worry, there's lots of choices. Okay, I hear you asking, but will I enjoy them? Yes. Eventually you will. Maybe even immediately. The foods you can eat on this plan are tremendously varied because Brightline eating is a complete lifestyle. It's not about living on lettuce for 6 weeks or grapefruit. It's about eating real food that is good for your brain in quantities that produce and then sustain your weight loss. There are three pieces of good news on the food enjoyment front. First, if downregulation was an issue for you, as your dopamine receptors heal, you're going to find that you're able to taste your food in a way you may not have been able to for years. Second, every cell in your taste buds dies and is replaced by a brand new taste bud cell every 2 weeks. So as you detox, your taste buds will be going through their own evolution, and in very short order, your food will taste amazing. I say this to you as someone who used to eat a whole lot of cookie dough and who now eats a whole lot of vegetables. I love my vegetables. They taste incredible and leave me full and satisfied. But no, my appreciation for them did not happen overnight. Third, what you'll find is that your food will taste better because you'll be coming to each meal with an eager stomach and a body that truly wants and needs fuel. It turns out that has a huge impact on the way the food tastes. I don't know about you, but in the past, I was always topping up my tank before the fuel light ever came on. And because my body didn't really need the fuel, I had to seek out hyper-palatable taste bombs to placate my worn-out taste buds. No more. When you're truly physiologically hungry, abundant, colorful, healthy food tastes phenomenal. It feels like your body is saying, yum, thank you. One warning. As you read through the food plan for the very first time, you may find yourself having a strong reaction to what seems like a complex, rigid, overwhelming system. That is very common. I promise it will get easy and start to feel simple very, very quickly. Food is just complicated because there are so many great options, and reading about it all can feel like trying to get a drink of water from a fire hydrant. I suggest you read this section through and then take some deep breaths, calm yourself down, and tell yourself just to try it for a while and see. No commitments, just an experiment. Thousands of people have done this successfully, and there's no difference between them and you. This plan works beautifully if you follow it. There's another thing I need to prepare you for up front, and it might surprise you to hear me say this. This food plan is not designed for optimal nutrition. It's designed to be a wide, lenient plan that will succeed at getting you happy, thin, and free. My intention is that after you have your transformation, or somewhere along the journey, you will be inspired to select more and more choices that are more and more healthy, that you will naturally get curious about nutrients and will want to swap out iceberg lettuce for arugula or kale. But since I'm asking you to give up sugar entirely, to give up flour entirely, to never snack, and to weigh and measure your quantities, I'm not inclined to force more limitations immediately if they're not actually necessary for the initial weight loss. There are other experts out there whose sole objective is to help you get maximally healthy through optimal nutrition. We don't need more experts doing that. It's being done really well already. I see my job differently. I'm here to get you into a right-sized body and to give you back full authorship of your own destiny when it comes to the food you put into your mouth. At that point, making even healthier food choices will be something you can do if you want. And of course, if you want to aim for maximal nutrition starting from day one, that's great too. All the most nutritious foods are on the plan, so there will be no barrier to your success. As you read over the weight loss food plan, you may wonder how it can be that this one plan works for everyone. That's a question I get a lot. The answer is that the differences in people's sizes and metabolisms simply manifest in how fast they lose their excess weight. But once they get down to goal weight, they will indeed end up on different maintenance plans based on their metabolic needs. Note, though, that the weight loss food plan doesn't recommend the same amount of food for everyone every day. For starters, at all three meals, men get more protein than women. But also, you yourself can vary the amount of food you're eating quite simply. For example, you can choose non-fat cottage cheese for your protein or cashews for your protein, but you'll take in nearly 4 times as many calories with the cashews. Hence, we talk about making light versus heavy choices within the food plan based on your needs or whether you know you're going to be taking a long hike that day. Another point, if you are currently attached to a philosophy of eating, like paleo, nutritarian, vegan, or gluten-free, I promise that you can easily adapt this food plan to your needs and continue to adhere to the guidelines of that program. Since 2012, I have been a predominantly plant-based eater, and Brightline Eating has kept me beautifully slender for all the years that I included meat and dairy in my diet and all the years since. As long as the philosophy isn't based on eating cookies every night, there's a way that Brightline Eating can make it work. And finally, as you start to read this, I invite you to surrender and simply keep an open mind. The most successful people in Brightline Eating are those who just decide to trust the plan and do it as outlined. After all, nothing you've ever tried before has gotten you where you've wanted to be, right? Thousands of cases show that this roadmap works. Trust. The Weight Loss Food Plan. If you have at least 10 pounds to lose, this is where you'll start. You'll stay on this plan until you get down to your goal weight. If you are at goal weight already, or have fewer than 10 pounds to lose, read through this chapter and then read the beginning of chapter 14 about the maintenance food plan for instructions on how to get started. How long it will take you to get to goal weight, of course, depends on how much weight you have to lose and how quickly you lose it. There's a wide range for how quickly people lose their excess weight doing Brightline Eating, but on average, people lose 1 to 3 pounds per week, meaning some lose less and some lose more, but most fall within that range. It's important to note here that, contrary to widespread belief, there is actually no scientific evidence showing that it's better to lose weight slowly. I say, get it off. Also, I've seen again and again in Brightline Eating that people's goal weight shifts once they've seen their bodies respond to the plan. When I was struggling with my weight, I started off aiming to get down to a size 8. Size 4 was outside my realm of comprehension. I used to think, hand to God, that I was big-boned. Nope, my bones are bone-sized. I'm a size 4. So set a goal, but don't be surprised if that number shifts down for you in a few months. Once you begin approaching goal weight, you'll want to consult Chapter 14 on the maintenance food plan. That's where I map out for you all the details on how to transition your food plan to slow and then stop your weight loss. Note, all tables associated with the weight loss food plan are included in the bonus materials of this audiobook. The Weight Loss Food Plan. Breakfast, 1 protein, 1 breakfast grain, and 1 fruit. Lunch, 1 protein, 6 ounces of vegetables, 1 fruit, and 1 fat. Dinner, 1 protein, 6 ounces of vegetables, 8 ounces of salad, and 1 fat. Breakfast grains. Pre-cooked hot, weigh 4 ounces after cooking. Dry, cold or hot, weigh 1 ounce dry, then cook. Potato, sweet potato, yam, rice, quinoa, or millet, weigh 4 ounces after cooking. Oatmeal, oat bran, cream of rice, grits, cream of wheat, and quinoa flakes, weigh 1 ounce dry, then cook. Whole grains are perfectly fine on the Brightline Eating plan, but at first you'll only have them at breakfast. When you're close to goal weight, you'll add them to lunch and then ultimately to dinner as well. Most standard breakfast cereals are not on the Brightline Eating plan because they contain sugar, flour, or both. As an aside, when it comes to packaged foods, small amounts of sugar or flour actually are okay. Sugar and flour both have dose-dependent effects, and experience has shown that minuscule amounts won't be potent enough to trigger cravings. The rule here is that you need to read the list of ingredients in the product. And if there's no sugar or flour in the first three ingredients, then it's okay. You'll need to get into the habit of reading the ingredients list for absolutely every packaged food item you buy or eat. But most of your food will be whole food, without a package and without an ingredients list anyway. Following this rule, there are a few commercially made cereals that will work just fine. They include Uncle Sam's Original, Ezekiel Cereal, Shredded Wheat, and different varieties of unsweetened puffed grains. These have no sugar or flour at all. In addition, Fiber One has been included in the Brightline Eating Food Plan since the beginning. It has artificial sweetener as its 10th ingredient on the list. I'm sure there are other acceptable breakfast cereal options available in your local grocery store that are not listed here. Remember that you're watching for sweeteners of any kind, including evaporated cane juice or artificial sweeteners or any form of flour. If you are gluten intolerant, of course, you will want to find a gluten-free alternative, but be sure it does not have any form of sugar or flour listed in the first three ingredients. Quinoa flakes are my personal favorite gluten-free hot breakfast cereal. For cold cereal, weigh out exactly 1 ounce and either eat it dry. Shredded wheat, for example, can be eaten like crackers. This is a good option when traveling. Or add milk, unsweetened soy milk, or unsweetened yogurt, which you will count as your protein. Due to their extremely low protein and calorie contents, other non-dairy milks, like almond milk, are not recommended during the weight loss phase, although they are acceptable. And in a moment, in the notes on breakfast proteins, I'll be explaining a nice suggestion on how you can split your protein if you do like to use almond milk or other non-dairy milks. For hot cereal, I weigh out exactly 1 ounce and then I add water, typically 4 to 6 ounces, and then cook it in the microwave or on the stovetop until the cereal reaches the desired consistency. Alternatively, you can cook it with some kind of milk if you are using that as your breakfast protein. Proteins, animal-based options. Proteins typically eaten at breakfast for women include 8 ounces of plain yogurt, 8 ounces of milk, 2 eggs, 2 ounces of cheese, 4 ounces of cottage cheese, or 4 ounces of ricotta cheese. Proteins typically eaten at breakfast for men include 8 ounces of plain yogurt, 8 ounces of milk, 3 eggs, 3 ounces of cheese, 6 ounces of cottage cheese, and 6 ounces of ricotta cheese. Proteins typically eaten at lunch or dinner for women include 4 ounces of chicken, not breaded, with the skin off, 4 ounces of turkey with the skin off, 4 ounces of pork, no ham cured in sugar, 4 ounces of beef, like ground beef, steak, sirloin tips, etc., 4 ounces of lamb, and 4 ounces of fish or shellfish. Proteins typically eaten at lunch or dinner for men. 6 ounces of chicken, turkey, pork, beef, lamb, fish, or shellfish. Proteins, plant-based options. Proteins typically eaten at breakfast for women include 8 ounces of unsweetened soy milk, 8 ounces of unsweetened almond milk, 8 ounces of unsweetened other non-dairy milk like hemp, flax, rice, etc., 4 ounces of tofu, 4 ounces of hummus, 2 ounces of soya granules, 2 ounces of nuts or nut butters, and 2 ounces of seeds. Proteins typically eaten at breakfast for men include 8 ounces of unsweetened soy milk, almond milk, or other non-dairy milks, 6 ounces of tofu, 6 ounces of hummus, 3 ounces of soya granules, 2 ounces of nuts or nut butters, and 2 ounces of seeds. Proteins typically eaten at lunch or dinner for women include 4 ounces of tofu, 4 ounces of tempeh, 6 ounces of beans, or 2 ounces of roasted beans, like roasted chickpeas, 6 ounces of lentils, 4 ounces of hummus, 4 ounces of shelled edamame, 4 ounces of veggie burgers, 2 ounces of soy nuts, or dry roasted edamame. Proteins typically eaten at lunch or dinner for men include 6 ounces of tofu, 6 ounces of tempeh, 6 ounces of beans or 3 ounces of roasted beans, like roasted chickpeas, 6 ounces of lentils, 6 ounces of hummus, 6 ounces of shelled edamame, 6 ounces of veggie burgers, or 3 ounces of soy nuts or dry roasted edamame. For breakfast proteins, regular and Greek yogurt are equally suitable. The preference would be for low-fat rather than non-fat or whole milk products, but there's no hard and fast rule about this. Nuts and seeds are only acceptable if they weren't a binge food for you. Also, keep in mind that they are calorically very dense, so include no more than 2 servings per week until you've lost all your weight. If you prefer plant-based proteins, avoid choosing almond milk, hemp milk, flax milk, or rice milk for your breakfast protein during the weight loss phase, because the unsweetened versions are very light on calories and light on protein, and they won't hold you until lunch. Fortified soy milk is a better choice. However, if you very much want to have, say, almond milk at breakfast, in your coffee or on your cereal, for example, here's a way to make that work. Split your protein serving in half and have 4 ounces of any kind of milk and 1 ounce of nuts or seeds, or half a serving of beans, cheese, eggs, or any other protein you like. The benefit of, in particular, the almond or soy milk and nuts or seeds combination is that one is a light protein and one is a little heavy, so they balance each other out perfectly. You can split your breakfast protein like this every day if you like to. I do. An important tip on lunch and dinner proteins. You always want to weigh your food after you cook it. For example, if you're going to eat a hamburger, don't weigh out your hamburger patty and then put it on the grill or in the frying pan. It will shrink down by a whopping 25 to 50%. So when you cook food, including proteins and vegetables, cook enough for several servings. You'll have leftovers and you'll be able to weigh out your immediate serving after it's fully cooked. Bacon is not on the food plan, primarily because it takes a ridiculously huge pile of it to get to 4 to 6 ounces. Be very careful about processed meats also, like lunch meats, hot dogs, and sausages. You need to read the ingredients list carefully and make sure that sugar, dextrose, etc., flour, or some kind of starch isn't listed as one of the first 3 ingredients. You're much better off eating real meats, ideally organic, compassionately raised meats. For plant-based protein, tempeh that's made out of soy and some kind of grain, like brown rice, is fine. Smoky tempeh strips, called fakin bacon, are very tasty and also a good choice. Beans and lentils are some of your least expensive and most healthy options for protein and fiber, so include them often. If you eat a plant-based diet, soy nuts are great to keep in little pre-weighed baggies in your purse, briefcase, or travel bag when you're on the go. You can discreetly dump them onto your salad in a restaurant to round out a meal. Dried or roasted beans, like chickpeas, are also wonderful and can be included in the same amount as soy nuts, 2 ounces for women, 3 ounces for men. I found little snack baggies of dried chickpeas in airport gift shops and enjoyed them for breakfast with fresh fruit and some Starbucks oatmeal after a red-eye flight. Fruit. Have one of apple, pear, orange, grapefruit, banana, peach, nectarine. Have 2 of plums, kiwis, persimmons. Have 3 apricots. Weigh 6 ounces of berries, all kinds, grapes, pineapple, cherries, mangoes and papayas, melon of all kinds, and fresh figs. And note that whenever the size of your fruit seems unusual in any way, it's a good idea to fall back on your trusty scale and just weigh it out to 6 ounces. For example, some bananas are very small, and you may want to weigh 6 ounces of banana. Some plums and apricots are huge, so it would be ridiculous to have 2 or 3 of them. Rather, weigh out 6 ounces. For cherries, you can weigh out your 6 ounces with the pits still in and not worry about the weight of the pits. You can weigh out 6.3 or 6.25 ounces of cherries with the pits in. Yes, I once carefully removed and then weighed the pits in 6 ounces of cherries. Alternatively, you can use a cherry pitter and remove the pits before weighing the cherries. Note that any kind of fresh whole fruit is acceptable. So if you're wondering about a variety that's not listed here, it's fine. Vegetables. artichoke hearts, asparagus, beet greens, beets, bok choy, broccoli, broccoli rabe, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, cauliflower, carrots, celery, collard greens, cucumber, dandelion greens, eggplant, green beans, jicama, kale, leeks, lettuce, mushrooms, onions, peppers, radicchio, radishes, snow peas, spaghetti squash, spinach, sugar snap peas, Swiss chard, tomatillo, tomatoes, turnip greens, watercress, yellow summer squash, zucchini. Starchy vegetables, corn, parsnips, peas, turnip, rutabaga, swede, winter squash, all kinds, butternut, delicata, acorn, and pumpkin. Note that this isn't an exhaustive list of all vegetables. Similar to fruit, there are no vegetables we don't eat in Brightline Eating. So, if it's not on this list, never fear, have at it. You can prepare your vegetables raw or cooked. Serve them in a salad or some combination thereof. We have a saying in Brightline Eating, produce is produce. This means that if you don't feel like a salad at dinner, you can have cooked vegetables instead. When cooking, as always, be sure to weigh your vegetables after you cook them, because just like proteins, the veggies will shrink, sometimes dramatically, in the cooking process. Also, be sure not to add additional fat when you're cooking. For example, collard greens should be steamed or boiled, not cooked with butter and ham hocks. If you aren't already versed in herbs and spices, they're a great way, along with onion and garlic, to flavor your food without adding fat. The exception to the no added fat rule is spray oil. You can use PAM or some similar type of spray oil, ideally the olive oil variety, to coat a frying pan or baking sheet when you saute or roast vegetables. It is true that this will add a trace amount of fat to the food, but not significant enough to derail your weight loss. Canned or frozen vegetables are actually fine, but read the label to be sure nothing has been added to them. For example, canned beets are delicious, but be sure to select ones packed in water with no added sugar. Similarly, find artichoke hearts packed in water, not oil. Some frozen vegetables come in a buttery sauce or have added sugar. Avoid those. Starchy vegetables are fine to count as vegetables, but be aware that their calorie count is relatively high compared to other vegetables. For this reason, I recommend that you limit your starchy vegetables to 2 servings per week during the weight loss phase. After you've lost your weight, you can experiment with eating them more often, so long as your weight stays stable. Notice that potatoes, sweet potatoes, and yams are not on the list of starchy vegetables. They all count as grains, and you'll be eating them again at lunch and dinner when you're at goal weight. For corn, measure out 6 ounces of kernels or have 2 medium-sized ears of fresh corn on the cob. Now, please don't make the mistake of thinking that 8 ounces of salad means 8 ounces of lettuce. You'll be chewing all night. No, you'll want to start off with a base of about 2 to 3 ounces of a heavy lettuce like romaine or iceberg, or maybe 1 to 2 ounces of a lighter lettuce like spinach or spring mix. Then add salad vegetables like tomatoes, cucumbers, carrots, red onion, mushrooms, peppers, sprouts, jicama, beets, celery, etc. on top until the total weight equals exactly 8 ounces. After you reach goal weight, you can add some avocado or olives as vegetables, but during the weight loss phase, it's best to avoid those or use them and count them as your fat serving, which we'll talk about in a minute, as they're calorically very dense. When eating out, be sure to order your salad carefully. Many restaurants add croutons, cheese, craisins, fruit, bacon bits, or a heavy dressing. Instead, ask for olive oil and vinegar on the side. You can use a spoon to measure out your oil. 3 teaspoons equals 1 tablespoon. Then add vinegar to taste. Variety is especially important when it comes to eating a lot of vegetables without getting tired of them. If you're not familiar with some of the vegetables listed here, try to incorporate a new one every week. You'll greatly expand your repertoire. Variety is not only the spice of life, it's the cornerstone of health and vitality. Fats. Avocado, 2 ounces. Butter, margarine, mayonnaise, nut butters, 1 tablespoon or 0.5 ounce. Nuts, 1/2 ounce. Olives, 2 ounces. Oil, 1 tablespoon or 1/2 ounce. Salad dressing, 1 tablespoon or 1/2 ounce. Seeds, 1/2 ounce. And tahini, 1 tablespoon or 1/2 ounce. You'll add 1 serving of fat to your food at both lunch and dinner. For lunch, perhaps you'll choose to put the fat on your vegetables. For dinner, I suspect you'll want to add oil or dressing to your salad. You can use a tablespoon measure for your fat, but I personally prefer to weigh it out on my digital food scale because it's less messy and more precise. 1 tablespoon should equal 0.5 ounce. Be careful, though. If you're weighing oil and you pour too much, you'll have to be prepared to grab a paper towel and sop up some of the excess to get it back down to the correct weight. You never want to get sloppy with the scale. Don't succumb to the saboteur who will whisper in your ear and say, "It's only a tiny bit. It doesn't really matter." It does matter. It's a matter of integrity. It's your bright line. Keep in mind that there's a huge difference between healthier fats, like those in almonds and avocados, and unhealthy fats, like soybean oil or vegetable oil, especially if they're partially hydrogenated. Vegetable oil of some kind is what you'll find in most bottled salad dressings and mayonnaise. If you're going to be cooking with oil, choose olive oil, avocado oil, or canola oil. If you're going to be putting oil on a salad, I suggest using flax oil. It's a wonderful source of omega-3 fatty acids, which most of us are desperately lacking in our diet. Now, you can't heat up flax oil, though, or it will denature the molecules due to its low smoking point. If you like to add butter to your food, that's fine, as long as you keep it to 1 tablespoon per meal. There are also many excellent plant-based butter substitutes. My favorite is Earth Balance Buttery Spread. If you're going to use a bottled salad dressing, see if you can find one that uses olive oil instead of soybean or vegetable oil. The biggest red flag about bottled salad dressings is that they almost all contain some sugar or other type of sweetener. But if it's 4th or lower on the ingredients list, then it's okay. Clearly, a raspberry vinaigrette or honey mustard dressing won't work. These will most definitely have a sweetener, maybe 2, in the first 3 ingredients. Ranch dressings vary. Some are okay, and some have sugar in the first 3 ingredients. Most blue cheese dressings will work, and many, but not all, vinaigrette dressings will work. Just make a habit of reading the ingredients list. I also want to acknowledge that there is tremendous disagreement these days among intelligent, venerated experts on the role of fat in a healthy diet. Some experts strongly promote a diet with little to no added fat. Others say that healthy fats are a necessary and integral part of a well-rounded diet. I am aware that some people have very intense and fervent opinions about this. My views may change in the future, but as of the publication of this book, I am agnostic about the role of fat in a healthy diet. I honestly don't believe there's a smoking gun in the research literature either way. In my experience, after working with literally thousands of people, the essential elements in a healthy food plan are eliminating sugar and flour entirely, eating tons of vegetables, and having just enough fat, protein, and fiber to ground out the glycemic load of each meal so insulin levels stay steady and the brain can heal. If you're doing all that, I think the body is very forgiving about the rest. Again, what I recommend is that you trust and try the plan as written. But if you have convictions about fats that make including them in your food plan untenable for you, then by all means, modify it so that it aligns with your values. Similarly, if you feel you must have more healthy fat, at breakfast for instance, then substitute it in and find something to eliminate. But make your adjustment once, upfront, and then keep your plan consistent from day to day. Consistency is key because that's what's automatizable. Condiments. Capers, keep it to 2 ounces per meal. Cinnamon, herbs, hot sauce, lemon juice, lime juice, marinara sauce, 2 ounces per meal. Mustard, nutritional yeast, 1/2 ounce per meal. Salsa, 2 ounces per meal. Salt and pepper, soy sauce, spices, vinegar, including balsamic. Bright Line Eating is a program of clear boundaries, not a program of asceticism or deprivation. I absolutely think food should be delicious and that we should heartily enjoy our meals. Condiments, spices, herbs, and salt and pepper are simple and easy additions that can make a meal fabulous. Just check for sugar or flour in the first three ingredients listed on pre-made condiments. And do keep an eye on your use. I have known people, including myself, to go overboard on salsa, nutritional yeast, cinnamon, mustard, and balsamic vinegar, among others. When I notice myself falling into that pattern, I tend to just let that particular condiment go for a while. Generally speaking, though, condiments of all kinds are fine. Better than fine. They're wonderful. Nutritional yeast on a salad, salsa added to some simple black beans, cinnamon on oatmeal, lemon juice and soy sauce on broccoli. Yum. A word about salt. Sodium and chloride ions play important roles in cellular processes, including synaptic transmission in the brain. When you stop eating the standard American diet and give up packaged foods in favor of whole, real foods, your sodium intake is going to drop precipitously. Now, if you have very high blood pressure, that's a good thing. But if your blood pressure is low, you might feel dizzy sometimes. This often can be alleviated by drinking plenty of water and consuming a bit more salt. Contrary to popular belief, research shows that not getting enough salt can also have serious health consequences. Unless you have high blood pressure, you may want to start salting the food you eat on the Brightline Eating Food Plan. Talk with your doctor about this. Beverages and alcohol. What can you drink with Brightline Eating? Well, let me tell you what I drink. I drink water. When I'm at a party or a restaurant, I drink sparkling water with lemon or lime. The sparkling waters that have natural flavors infused in them are fine, as long as they don't also have artificial sweeteners. I also drink herbal teas of all kinds. My favorites include peppermint, ginger, licorice, rooibos, and Indian spiced chai. Beverages that I'm not so thrilled about are coffee, caffeinated tea, and alcohol, but they're not all equal offenders. Coffee and tea. If you have just one cup of coffee in the morning and you choose to have some soy, rice, almond, or cow milk in it as part of your protein serving, that's fine. But if you're having coffee or tea at a non-meal time, then it needs to be black. The issue that I have with caffeine and Brightline Eating is that it floods the brain with dopamine. It's an addictive substance. We're trying to replenish your dopamine receptors and heal your brain here, so doing anything that's going to flood the brain with dopamine is not a good idea. It's going to keep your cravings alive. So, if you're someone who drinks a lot of coffee or tea, I would say a good firm boundary is 2 cups a day maximum. At some point, try to get down to 1 cup a day, and ideally, I would recommend you try to wean off it completely. Alcohol. Molecularly speaking, alcohol is sugar plus ethanol. Ethanol is what makes you intoxicated. When you're intoxicated, you have low resistance for doing dumb things and making choices that you just wouldn't otherwise make. Anytime you drink alcohol, you're going to be more likely to eat something that's off your food plan. So, alcohol is off limits for Brightline eaters because A, it's sugar and will keep your brain from healing, B, it reduces your inhibitions, and C, it strengthens your saboteur. Time and time again, I have seen people try to include an occasional glass of wine in their food plan and have watched their program gradually slide off the rails. I know that giving up alcohol is really tough for some people. If you find yourself balking, try letting it go for just a trial period. It's worth it. Bright lines and when to use them. On leap day of 2012, I was 9 years into my bright line journey and relaxing when my father-in-law, Hugh, tossed The China Study by T. Colin Campbell, Ph.D. and Thomas M. Campbell II, M.D. into my lap. Once I started reading it, I couldn't put it down. The science it outlined on the cancer-causing effects of meat and dairy had such a profound effect on me that for the rest of the weekend, I couldn't do much more than read the book and stare at the wall, processing what was on the page. I decided to stop eating meat and dairy that very day. However, years later, I still don't have a personal bright line for meat and dairy at all. Why? Because my motivation for not eating meat and dairy is to maintain optimal health, not to rid myself of the obsession and compulsion that are the hallmark of addiction. If obsession and compulsion are the issue, smoking cigarettes, not being able to stop texting your toxic ex, self-harm, and you want to get past it, you need a bright line. If health is your objective, there is no evidence whatsoever that perfect is better than really good. Seriously, you can comply with a health goal 95% of the time, and it will benefit you as much as 100% perfection. That's another reason why hot dogs and Italian sausage are allowed on the weight loss food plan, for example. And why I don't dictate that they be nitrate-free and organic, although, of course, that would be my suggestion. If it takes eating a few things that feel decadent for you to get through the early days of adopting to Brightline eating, then knock yourself out. Like I said before, fine-tuning the health of your choices can come later. Here's an example. A woman named Wendy Sachs came to the boot camp a stubborn 40 pounds overweight. It drove her mad, mainly because she was vegan. From a nutritional standpoint, she thought she ate impeccably, but that weight still dogged her. What she learned through Brightline eating was that her quantities were much higher than they should have been, and she was eating sugar and flour, and she grazed. Once she eliminated those things, she rapidly became happy, thin, and free, not only from her excess weight, but from the mood swings that had plagued her for years. Brightline eating works beautifully with other nutritional objectives you may evolve over time, or bring with you to the program. But it has the power to permanently solve weight issues like nothing else. One final note. Over time, we have developed an extensive frequently asked questions database that covers everything, literally, from soup to nuts. What about tapioca, coconut shavings, aloe juice? There is not a question that has not been asked. Unfortunately, there isn't enough room here to include all those granular answers. But this resource exists in our amazing mobile platform, the Brightline Eating Daily Companion, and I invite you to make use of it. You can get access here at book.brightlineeating.com.
Case study, Lois Boyd. Highest weight, 132 pounds. Current weight, 103 pounds. Height, 5 feet, 2.5 inches. My whole life, I had a huge secret. My relationship with food was out of control. As in many families, there were always plenty of sweets in the house when I was growing up. Even though I had access to them at home, by the time I was a preteen, sugary sweets had become so important to me that I would secretly find ways to get them. In the mid-1960s, Twiggy emerged as a prominent teenage fashion model, and thin was in. Although I was an average weight, I didn't feel thin enough, so I went on my first starvation diet. I dieted down to 106 pounds, and that's when my unhealthy relationship with food began. I was unable to maintain a low enough weight and started living in a black and white world of either rigidly following a diet or completely straying from whatever one I was on. I married at 21 and had my children at 22 and 25 years of age. After I had my kids, I was unable to return to my pre-pregnancy weight of 115 pounds. I turned to cigarettes because I thought they would keep me thin. I smoked until my daughter started kindergarten and asked me to stop as part of an anti-smoking campaign at her school. My weight rose to 132 pounds. I turned to diet pills, diuretics, and laxatives to control my weight. I abused them for years, and, at my worst, was taking 40 pills a day. Because I binged and abused laxatives, I was dehydrated, couldn't sleep, and had horrible cravings all the time. In 2000, I dreamed of running a marathon, but that just isn't possible while taking laxatives. I found a doctor who helped wean me off them, enabling me to train. I placed third in my age group when I finally did run one, and running became my new passion. My overall health continued to deteriorate due to my eating disorder, so I had to stop running. I was diagnosed with atherosclerosis in 2004. It was severe enough that my cardiologist wanted to treat my condition aggressively. I began taking several statins until I found I couldn't tolerate them. My carotid arteries were getting more and more blocked due to my binge foods, and I desperately searched for a solution. By that time, my weight was normal, the same as it is today. I just couldn't stop the cycles of binging and restricting. In fact, I've been in a right-sized body for most of my life, as evidenced by my normal-looking before picture. Weight wasn't the problem. My insanity with food was. I became a vegan in 2010, following the program of Dr. Joel Fuhrman. It was a wonderful plan, but I couldn't maintain it long-term. All it would take was a bite of healthy sugar, such as dried fruit, to trigger a binge. The binging became so severe that it would often leave me bedridden the following day and not back to normal for about 4 days. I felt totally out of control and broken. My health continued to decline. In addition to atherosclerosis, I also suffered from spinal stenosis, autoimmune conditions, osteoporosis, and gastrointestinal issues. But then I discovered Bright Line Eating in October of 2014, and my life completely changed. Before Bright Line Eating, my cholesterol was 193. Not awful, but my heart disease was advanced enough that my doctor wanted to get it under 150. When I started Bright Line Eating, it was hard to maintain my weight because my abused stomach couldn't handle the fibrous bulk of the vegetables, and I was terrified of eating fat because of my heart disease and high cholesterol. Susan encouraged me to add some nuts to my plan to stabilize my weight. I was frightened, but I trusted her. I reluctantly agreed. Gradually, my stomach issues cleared up, and within months, my cholesterol dropped to 131. My cardiologist was, and still is, thrilled. After having checkups every 4 months for 11 years, he now only wants to see me twice a year. Across the board, my health is better. It took me 9 months to regain my energy, but now I feel like a different person. My stomach issues are mostly gone. My sleep is better. But best of all, I'm not binging. Nothing could stop me until I got the sugar and flour out of my system. When I was 103 pounds and eating vegan, I outwardly appeared to be a model of health, but when I was alone, I would often binge. I knew I was living a lie, and I felt like a fraud. Thanks to Bright Line Eating, I can finally be an authentic person. I'm growing in ways I never imagined, like writing my story for this book. It's a huge step for me. Before Bright Line Eating, I told no one about my secret life with food. I was so embarrassed and ashamed. But I want others who struggle with food, even if they're in a normal-sized body, to know that Bright Line Eating can work for them. It's an amazing program. My happiness quotient has skyrocketed. I am finally free.
Chapter 9. Your Day 1. Into Action. Welcome to the part of the book where you start taking action. If you have read every word up to this point, you are armed with all the information you need to understand how your brain has been blocking your weight loss and the food plan that can turn that around. Now it's time to take the steps to kick off your Bright Line Eating journey so your brain can heal. In this chapter, I'm going to walk you through everything you need to do, step by step, before your first Bright Line Day. At the end of the chapter is a checklist that you can use to track your progress as you prepare. Note, if you're digitally inclined, you can do much of this in the Bright Line Eating Daily Companion. We've created a technology platform that will fully support you in your Bright Line Eating journey. Download it here. book.brightlineeating.com. Visit your doctor. This is the step that many people, in their understandable eagerness to get started, want to skip. I highly encourage you not to. First, if you are currently on any medications for medical conditions, it's very important to have your doctor's support and involvement before dramatically altering your diet. One thing I've seen over and over is that people's medications often need to be adjusted very quickly on this plan. Frequently, the need for medications is even eliminated, since Brightline eating often resolves the myriad health issues that stem, ultimately, from the addiction to sugar and flour. What we have seen in our boot campers is that the scope of systemic healing is huge. Inflammation comes down, healthy gut flora proliferate, meal timing creates a fasting window that benefits the circadian rhythm of every organ, insulin and glucose systems balance, and cardiovascular damage reverses. This is not a promise, it's a prediction based on years of experience. So you'll want to ask your doctor what he or she thinks of you starting Brightline eating and then recruit supervision. You may want to make an action plan for how frequently you should check back in for potential medication adjustments. Second, you'll want to get a full blood workup. I suggest you get a full cholesterol panel, A1C, triglycerides, blood pressure, fasting blood glucose, baseline insulin reading, CBC test, and any other numbers that you and your doctor want to track. If you have had blood work done recently, you may feel comfortable skipping this step, but I highly recommend that you start off with a good benchmark because things are about to change for you rapidly and dramatically, and you can never get back that window into what your body is like now, at the beginning. Take your before pictures. If you have weight to lose, you'll want to take some good before pictures that show you at your current weight. Some people do this with eagerness and joy. Others will feel like I just suggested having a root canal without Novocaine. Please trust me on this one. Starting Brightline eating and not taking pictures of your before state is like raising a child without taking any baby pictures. You'll never get this back. And this will work, and then no one will believe that you were ever fat, and you won't have proof. I am speaking from experience here. At my heaviest, I never allowed pictures to be taken. My best before picture, which you can see at my website, book.brightlineeating.com, is not at my top weight. And I'm smiling in it. I would move heaven and earth now to have a picture of me with my big belly and all my enormous bulges in their full glory, looking as desperately miserable as I actually felt. At one point in my journey, I was a size 24. My best fat picture shows me at a size 14. Don't make that mistake, please. Another option is to shoot some video before you get started and then keep capturing milestones of your journey as you proceed. What do you look like now as you embark on this adventure? What does your fridge look like? What does your closet look like? How do you feel? Or be creative and capture your beginning state in your own unique way. It doesn't have to be fancy or cumbersome. These days, any mobile device takes great videos. Clean out your kitchen. Donate, give away, or throw away everything that's not on your food plan. Check the refrigerator door for dressings, sauces, and condiments, and clear out everything that has sugar or any sweetener listed in the first three ingredients. Obviously, if you live alone, this step is much easier. If you live with others, clear out as much as you can while keeping things that your family or roommates will still want to eat. Depending on your circumstances, consider designating a refrigerator shelf and a kitchen cupboard that will be only for your food. Or vice versa, create a low or a high shelf for other people's food. Ask if you can pack all their snacks or sweets in a drawer or a cupboard so you can simply avoid seeing them. However you do it, arrange your space to minimize environmental triggers. Things to buy. I'm not a big stuff person. I don't need the latest or the greatest gadget, and I hate clutter. However, there are a few things I've learned you will need to make this journey successfully. Think of it like climbing Everest. The right equipment will mean the difference between reaching the summit and sitting in a tent on a ledge. The following list will give you categories of what you'll need to buy. But for my latest recommendations on specific items I've found to work exceptionally well, please visit book.brightlineeating.com. Number one, a digital food scale. You don't need a fancy one with a calorie counter, nutrition information, or a printer. Just a plain old food scale is all you need. But it must be digital. You don't want the ambiguity of trying to decide whether the needle is on the line, and you definitely don't want to be obsessing about how much lettuce you can smush into a measuring cup. Digital food scales are available at places like Target, Walmart, and Bed